Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you, and we're looking at a story here that was written by Katie Cole in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I couldn't believe it as I was reading it. A man who was a face of crime prevention, a spokesperson and a crime interrupter for the program Cure Violence, himself has been arrested for working with a multi-state drug dealer. So in 2019, the city of St. Louis spent $7 million to fund the Cure Violence program here in St. Louis. And now, this is not a great development for that program. To give us more information is Katie Cole of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Katie, thank you for joining us today. I couldn't believe your story. I read it like three times.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. First, I guess we'll start with the basics. A lot of questions here, but what was exactly Jerome Williams's role as an interrupter for Cure Violence?
Sure. Well, Cure Violence comes out of, it's a Chicago-based nonprofit, and its mission was to treat violence sort of like a disease, to kind of, you know, try to treat it like a public health problem, get people involved to try to de-escalate violent conflicts, you know, before they got violent, actually de-escalate conflicts before they got violent. And so his job was basically to go into these neighborhoods and interact with people and try to basically help them make peace without resorting to violence at a time when the city was really struggling with a spike in violent crime, homicides, and shootings.
So this was what he was doing, and I guess people assumed he was being earnest about that, that he was really trying to help violence. First of all, before we get to what he ended up being, how successful was he as a person who, other than himself, other than a person who was trying to cure violence, how successful was he?
Well, I can't really speak to him very much. I actually have never met him or talked to him personally. All of my understanding of this is reading our previous coverage, but certainly in the first couple years after the program began in St. Louis, a criminologist from UMSL did an analysis and basically found that crime was decreasing citywide, it did not decrease more in neighborhoods where Cure Violence was set up. So there was some question about whether that program as a whole was actually working. You know, I think the argument in favor of it was that having these people in these neighborhoods was helpful because, you know, it showed that there was investment and people cared, but the numbers didn't necessarily change, I guess.
Yeah, I think that was Rick Rosenfeld, at UMSL, yeah, who worked also with Thomas Apt, formerly of Harvard, now with the Council on Criminal Justice. And I know Thomas Apt, in his book Bleeding Out about urban violence, said that Cure Violence had mixed results. It was not like a necessarily tried and true. So Jerome Williams now has been arrested because they were able to find out he was helping out a multi-state drug dealer. What was he doing with this drug dealer? And again, at the same time that he was working for Cure Violence, what was his role?
So he was released from prison, I believe in either 2020 or 2021. He had been serving time for a fatal kidnapping in the St. Louis region, and along with a couple of other charges, I believe. And he met a man named Ray Bradley, who was a drug dealer who was operating out of many different states, including Washington out in Seattle. And so he met Ray Bradley, and he also met a man named Morion Lindsay while they were in federal prison. And then when he was released, when Williams was released, Bradley got in touch with him and basically said, "Hey, I would like to set up shop in St. Louis. Can you help me with that?" So Ray Bradley flies down to St. Louis and meets with Williams, who kind of agrees to be his sort of liaison in the region, or at least one of them. And I will say that all of this information I'm relaying to you right now came from testimony from Williams himself in court last week as part of a trial for Morion Lindsay, who was accused of being the trigger man in what eventually transpired. So,
yeah, it was a murder for hire plot, and that person was just sentenced. So how does he go from, you know, doing what he was doing, supposedly trying to help violence, to deciding, you know what, this might be a good gateway for me to be a criminal myself? Does he give any explanation as to how this happened or why it happened, or if that was just his original intent anyway?
No, not necessarily. And I mean, he had a criminal history, clearly. And I think a lot of these people who worked for Cure Violence did have a criminal history because, you know, I think the thinking is that you can relate to people and kind of say from experience, you know, this is what you need to do. And so I think the thinking was that, you know, somebody who had been there was going to have more credit. But it sounds like from his testimony that he never really stopped being involved in criminal activity. He gets out of prison and then he gets this call, and it sounds like he was, you know, this liaison. So I'm not sure that those two things are, you know, they're separate, but, yeah, he was involved with both.
Yeah. And it looks like too, that he got out of prison, and just looking at the timeline here of, you know, the FBI starting to look into his case, it's a couple of years ago, correct? Mm-hmm. That he got out of prison in 2020, but they're already looking into his case in 2022. Did Cure Violence hire him as he walked out of the prison? Because I get that you can hire people who they say you don't have involvement with the justice system, so they understand it. But if you have a guy who's serving 35 years for a kidnapping that resulted in death, and you pick him up seemingly as he comes out the door, that's how the timeline works out in my head.
Yeah, that's. I think that's kind of how the timeline worked out for me too. I mean, either he was hired in I think 2021 at some point, maybe 2020. But yes, it really does sound like it was a very quick turnaround, because within 2 years, pretty much from his release, he's back involved and implicated in this murder for hire. So
what's next for him at this point?
So he pleaded guilty last year. To destroying physical evidence. In this, he did not plead guilty to murder for hire himself. So he will be sentenced. And, you know, I think that was part of the deal, is he pleaded guilty to a crime that carries a maximum of 20 years, and murder for hire carries a maximum of life. So I think his cooperation was probably rewarded in that respect, that he kind of pleaded guilty to something that carried a lesser sentence.
Katie, as you mentioned, Rick Rosenfeld mentioned that Cure Violence had, you know, mixed results. Thomas Apt said it had mixed results. But the Mayor Jones, very excited about Cure Violence. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, they put $7 million into it in 2019. And has the mayor addressed this situation, or has the city said anything about this situation? Because my guess is there's some kind of not favorable implications about the way Cure Violence is being run here if something like this could happen.
Yeah, it was actually Mayor Cruson who initially proposed bringing this here, I believe. It was before me being here, so I'm taking our clips fact there. But Mayor Jones did make it part of her platform. I think they just haven't really funded it anymore. I mean, I think that, you know, it is not as big of a part anymore. I don't know that anyone's addressed this directly, but I certainly get the sense that that's the case.
Katie Cole, St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter, thank you so much for your time today and informing us on this story.
Thank you both for having me. I appreciate it.